Welcome to the Hashtag STR Ask podcast. I'm Amy Hall, and Greg Kokel is here with me to help answer your questions
that you sent in
on Twitter.
Thank you, Amos. Nice to hear from you.
All right. And it's nice to hear from our listeners, too. We love hearing from you. We love getting your questions. And we're going to start right now with a question from Anonymous. How do you respond to a progressive Christian who says that being the wrong gender is because of sin in the world, and it should be corrected just like needing glasses or having cancer? I assume the person means it's because we're in a fallen world, that's why some people are in the wrong gender, and we should correct it just like we do with glasses or we help with cancer.
Well, the problem here, and the reason that this parallel is not a good parallel, is because glasses, that's bad eyesight, and the like, are not. Oh, let me back up and put it this way: a bunch of things are colliding in my mind right now when I think about this. How else can I put it? Bad response, bad justification. All right. I think gender dysphoria is a result of sin in the world, okay? Because it's a way of viewing yourself that is not consistent with the reality the way God made it, okay? So then how does one address it? And the situation with eyesight and other bodily problems are that this is a physical concern. But these are not physical concerns that we're talking about. If you have a physical ailment, then you do your best to adapt and adjust to the physical ailment, and you use technology or techniques appropriate to managing a physical ailment. Gender dysphoria is not a physical ailment. It is a mental problem, and to some degree, especially now, a social contagion. What I mean by the second social contagion is it's a fad. So that when, and you know this from reading Abigail Schreier, so that when adolescent, especially adolescent women, start going through all of the crazy mind things that adolescents go through, then they are encouraged by their society to interpret their troubles as gender dysphoria, and then they are enabled to mutilate their bodies, even without their parents' consent, in order to try to match their bodies, to their mental perspective. The problem isn't with their body. Their problem is with the mental perspective. And characteristically, historically, before psychology got utterly and completely polluted by politics, so you cannot count on sound medical psychological advice anymore from that discipline in general, when there was this radical disparity, they addressed the problem with a tool that was appropriate to the problem. The problem is mental, and so you get mental health counseling. But now, because of the politics, there's nothing mentally unhealthy about thinking that you're the wrong gender. In fact, it is characterized now, even in medical schools. I wrote about this yesterday in the Solid Ground coming out in September. Even in medical schools, they are declaring that not only gender, but sex is a construct. That's in the quote. Now, he might have misspoken, this doctor in a medical school in the UC system. He didn't really mean sex, because there it is. You can see it. It's not a medical construct. It's a physical construct. The mental thing, the gender identity is a mental, gender is a mental construct, is what they're claiming now. And this particular person was apologizing. This doctor, instructor in med school, was apologizing for using the phrase pregnant woman because it mistakenly, he said, gave the impression that only women could get pregnant. and he's apologizing to his students. But in any event, you can see this is all politics. This is an ideologically controversial idea. It's controversial because it's just plain old obviously false. But some people are advancing it aggressively as sound. And this prevents the kind of the proper care that is necessary to unite the mental with the physical. So let me give you a parallel here. Let's just say you had cancer. And the doctor said, well, what we need to do is change your attitude about cancer and pain and dying so that you can celebrate the fact that you have this thing growing in your body that is soon going to kill you. Forget about chemotherapy. Forget about radiation. Forget about removing tumors. The real problem, patient, is the way you think about it. Well, this would be lunacy, all right? And I hesitate giving an illustration like this because when you give an extreme illustration to make a point, pretty soon the thing that you're thinking is extreme in your illustration becomes reality and people start doing it, okay? In any event, it's obvious there that what we are not doing right in that illustration I offer is addressing the real problem, which is the cancer growing in the body. In the case of gender dysphoria, the real problem is a wrong mental perspective about one's self. But instead of addressing that, they want to change the body, which amounts to a mutilation of the body, a perfectly good body. And this is why there's no parallel between eyesight and cancer in this circumstance. The other thing I want to point out is the person referring to gender dysphoria is referring, and the gender identity confusion is referring to this larger fad that's going on, all of this that is going on, that the culture is aggressively promoting, and this is why you have so many people confessing gender dysphoria of some sort and what used to be called a gender identity disorder. Okay, that's in the DSM, the DSM-4. DSM is the manual psychologists use to assess mental disorders. That's the official deal. In DSM-5, if I got my numbers right, there's none of that. It's not a disorder. There's something wrong with your body, not your mind. What if I did that with other things? What if we did this with a desire to be sexually involved with children, to use a very dramatic example? They don't even call that a disorder anymore, by the way. For a while they called it a sexual preference in the DSM until the gay crowd got so upset about identifying that as the kind of sexual preference that they engage in. And so they made the DSM, the people in the DSM, change that. Political pressure. Just another evidence that what you get in psychology today is politically correct answers, not sound counsel about to get mentally healthy. Because to get mentally healthy presumes that there is such a thing as mental health. There is a goal for how we're supposed to think about ourselves. But that isn't the way it looks right now. The goal of mental experts largely now is to make you feel good and comfortable about whatever it is that you have or you feel or you believe. Even sexual attraction to children. But what if we just said, well, okay, that's all that is just something like bad eyesight because of the fall. So let's accommodate that in some way so that the thing is not corrected. And following the parallel, the way to correct bad eyesight is to, you know, maybe have operation, right, on your eyes. Then you see the way you're supposed to see. All right. But we can't do that on these people. So, well, let's just give them glasses. Let them have the same point of view mentally about sexual attraction that they have. And let's just find a way to make it okay, manageable, instead of correcting it like you would correct vision through an operation. The illustration or the parallel that is offered completely misses the nature of the problem. In fact, it misses it so completely, it's a stunning suggestion when you think about it. Some modest attempt by a progressive Christian to, in a certain sense, to Christianize her answer, or his answer in this case, whatever it is, by referring to the fall, which I'm not even sure most progressive Christians even believe in a biblical sense. But okay, so we'll acknowledge this part of Christianity, but then does not acknowledge the nature of this problem, and then offers a ridiculous solution to it that doesn't address the problem. It doesn't treat it really seriously as a problem. It's just meant to accommodate what amounts to just kind of a disability.
Bringing all that together, Greg, I thought you made some great points there. I just want to give some ideas of how to respond specifically when this person says this. And the first thing I would say is, you can agree with them. I agree something has gone wrong because we're in a fallen world. Something has gone wrong. If somebody's idea of their gender differs from their body, something has gone wrong. And we completely agree on that. We also agree that we should try to correct that. We're completely in agreement there. So where we disagree
absolutely
is when you say being the wrong gender, because the disagreement is, are they the wrong gender, or do they think they're the wrong gender? Because she's saying being the wrong gender is the problem, and we're saying thinking the wrong gender is a problem. So how do you decide between those two? Mm-hmm. Well, you look at, and Greg, you touched on this, you look at the physical body. Is there something wrong with the physical body that needs to be corrected? No, it seems to be working exactly the way a physical body is supposed to work. Nothing seems to be wrong with the physical body. So why would we assume that we would change something that seems to be completely healthy to accommodate something else? And you've touched
that
on all of this.
That is obviously not healthy.
Right. So I think if you can find some common ground there and then talk about what makes a person's gender. She's assuming that she's bought into the idea, the worldview idea, that our gender is whatever we think it is. And that's where the pushback should be. God created male and female, and the way we recognize that is by a physical body. So why, and maybe that's a question you can ask, why are you saying, why would you think that whatever we think our gender is what we actually are, and not our body, which is speaking so clearly and so publicly in a way that is completely objective? Why would you deny that that is your gender and go with what is in your mind? There's a lot of ideas about human beings tied up in that, and ideas about creation that are tied up in that. And maybe that's a place where you can take this conversation so that you can come to
Absolutely.
Some sort of understanding of where you differ and how to change it.
Such a great response, Amy. Just a couple of kind of footnotes to that. When you say something that's completely objective, that is their sex, what we mean is it's third person public. Anybody around can look at the physical body and come to the same conclusion as to what sex the body is, except for in the extremely rare cases of intersex individuals, okay? And there you do have a kind of physical, anatomical ambiguity, all right?
And in that case, the problem is with the body.
Yes, that's right. And so then some kind of surgical response would be appropriate depending on the judgment of surgeons and the families and the individuals in question right there. It's a totally different issue, and we should never confuse these two because it's apples and oranges, so to speak. Going back to the biblical situation, I have described what strikes me as common sense, that sex and gender are synonyms. To say one sex is male is to say one's gender is male. Now, the new way of looking at it is to try to hive those things off and to treat them as distinctive things. And of course, this happens when people have the mental illness. I'm just going to say it like that, because everybody agrees that something's wrong. The question is whether the body is wrong or the belief is wrong. And if you're going to call yourself a Christian like this progressive does, then it seems to me minimally God has something to say about this. Minimally. And it doesn't matter whether you believe the Bible is the inspired word of God or not, which progressives don't. At least it has something to say to our behaviors and our understandings and our view of reality. And there is no distinction ever in the Bible between male, female on the one hand, and he and she on the other. All males are called he in the Bible. All females are called she in the Bible. Biblically, gender and sex are synonyms. And incidentally, I never made this point before. It just came to me as you're talking. It's not just my idea. It's the biblical idea. So if you're going to call yourself any kind of Christian and say the Bible has anything to say about this, then you have no grounds to make the distinction between sex and gender in terms of reality, such that if somebody believes they're the wrong gender, and I'm just going back to an illustration from movies in the past, way past 30s, 40s, whenever you had some kind of scene where somebody goes to an insane asylum or some kind of mental health facility. Let me put it that way. That would be more generous, because I don't think all these people are insane, but they used to call these mental health facilities insane asylums in the past. There's always somebody who thinks he's Teddy Roosevelt. You know, he's walking around with the spectacles and he's robust and he's talking like Roosevelt and he thinks he's Teddy Roosevelt. That's why he's there. He isn't physically Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt's long gone. He thinks he is. So he has a belief about himself that is inconsistent with reality. And so there he is. Well, how is this any different? It's an extreme kind of characterization, but you can think of dozens and dozens of dozens of alternatives. Hey, how about this? What about a person who's anorexic? A person who thinks they're fat when they're objectively not. That is, third-person observations are consistent in saying this person is not overweight, but their mind is. And so what they're doing to their body to try to adjust to their mental image is damaging to their body. Well, at the moment, that is still considered a mental health problem. Okay? And because even famous people have died of anorexia, you know. Mm-hmm. So... But here it's different because of the politics and because of the LGBTQ or STUV, they keep adding these things, agenda. They are demanding that you conform to their view that sexuality is a construct. It is utterly flexible, even gender elements of sexuality, such that no one is justified in ever casting any aspersions on any variation of sexual identity or sexual activity. And that whole movement is a direct spiritual attack on God's design for one man with one woman becoming one flesh for one lifetime to be fruitful and multiply and subdued. This is Ephesians 6 stuff that goes all the way back to the very beginning of the foundation of the plan that God is laying. And I am not trying to persuade non-Christians here. I want Christians, even so-called progressive Christians, to see this for what it actually is. Now, that's inside information. We don't broadcast that from the rooftops. We don't tell everybody this is a demonic scheme. We have to deal with the issues, and this is one of the things you've talked about how to do, and I have as well here. But I want our Christian brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, our standard reason community, to see this for what it is. And by the way, September 1st, the next Solid Ground called The Evening News is coming out that goes into much more detail about this. And I think it's very, very clear when you stand back and you look at what's happening. So if folks haven't signed up for that, go to str.org, upper right-hand corner, and what does it say there? I don't know. Sign up or whatever. Register. I don't know. But then you'll get it, and you won't miss any of them. And I have been talking about this all year long in Solid Ground. So anyway, I'm talking too much right now, Wayne. So your turn.
I'm so glad you brought up anorexia, because another thing you could bring up with this friend is the idea that this isn't unusual. We have experienced this kind of thing before. Anorexia is a perfect example. There's also something called body integrity disorder or bodily integrity disorder.
Yes.
I'm not sure which one.
Yes.
Where people,
I just was reading about it.
People think that they don't have a certain limb and they want to correct their body to match their idea of themselves as disabled in some way. And again, we can see that this is
wait,
not...
Wait, let me be clear. Wait, hold on, Amy. Hold on just a minute. Let me just make it clear. They think they have one arm, not two, but their body objectively has two, and they want a doctor to cut off one of their arms so it matches their identity as an amputee, just to be clear on what you're talking
yes.
about.
Yes. Sorry. It's a direct parallel. It is a direct parallel. And doctors will not do it because they won't damage a healthy body and remove healthy limbs to match a person's false idea of their body. So we have precedents for this. Unless. Right. So you can
unless
point out.
Unless it's a penis someone doesn't want, then they won't. I mean, just think about it. I'm sorry for being explicit here, but they won't cut off an arm, but they will a penis. Literally. This is not hyperbole. This is the fact of the matter now. And in some cases, you want to do this in the military? The military will pay for it. For example.
It is very strange that all of a sudden we have changed the way we view correcting the body or changing a healthy body to match a mind. So you might point out these past examples of things where we correct the mind, we don't correct the body. And in fact, doctors refuse to, quote, correct the body because the body's perfectly healthy. So, Greg, we are out of time. We only made it through one question today.
That's right. But it's an important one, and I'm glad we had a chance to knock it around a little bit. Mm-hmm. This is borderline cultural insanity. It just is insanity. But it is the kind of thing that is being foisted upon people. Even people, the foisters are people who claim to be Christian, progressive Christianity. And if we don't do all of these things, then we're the haters. We are trans haters. This is the way it's characterized. When you see language like that, you know they're cheating. You know they're cheating.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we are out of time, Greg. I remember. I'm sorry. I was trying to remember what I was going to say, and now I remember. I recommend Nancy Piercy's book, Love Thy Body, because she goes into the worldview ideas behind not just this issue, but other issues. They're all connected. And so if you feel like everything is insane in all these different areas, I recommend her book, Love Thy Body. And hopefully that will help you think more clearly through this and maybe even hand it off to your friend, see what she thinks. All right. Thank you, Anonymous. And if you have a question, please send it through Twitter with the hashtag STRask, or you can send it through our website. Just put hashtag STRask in your question and it will make it to me. I don't respond to all of them personally, but they all get saved. I look at all of them and we choose from that list. So we need your help for that. And we look forward to hearing from you. This is Amy Hall and Greg Kokel for Stand to Reason.